Morning. A couple months ago, Pastor Phil asked me to give a presentation on Taekwondo, let you guys know where you're at. I didn't really want to come up here and say a whole lot and sound like I'm tooting my own horn. So here's what I'll tell you. You can put the picture up. We have 13 students that come on a regular basis. We're in the black. We paid for the mat and paid for the insurance. Woohoo! We have about 5 more people who say they're interested in joining, which will put us at 18. The mat holds 9 people. So we will be coming to you here asking for some more money to get more mat. We try to have a devotion every class. We have testing. We've had some students who have made it to yellow belt. 2 of them are going to come up and share some of their experience with you. First one being Shelly, if you'll come on up and talk about your experience. Show them why you're playing it.
I went to a competition. I got 2 gold medals in sparring and forms. It's nerve-wracking waiting for about 4 hours of sitting there waiting for the younger group to go, but it's fun doing it. Well, that's it.
Layden, come on up.
A couple of days ago, I went to a tournament, got a gold for forms and a silver for sparring. It does take a long time, so have something to do, but it's really fun.
When we're at sparring, we go by age groups. So the littler kids start, and they go through their forms and then testing, and we're competing with other schools in the area, including Arkansas. One group comes all the way up from Conway, Arkansas, to compete. I'm the only school who has a green belt. All the others have black belt instructors, and yet our students still took gold being first and silver being second. So we're doing good all around, spiritual and physical, so I'm happy with the results there. And then I wanted some parents to come up and give testimony. So Julie, if you'll come up and tell us what you're seeing in Shelley's life.
Well, Shelley's not like me. She's got few words. I have more. But Taekwondo for Shelley has just been, you know, it has been a godsend for us. We've seen a big change in her personality. I actually walked in and she was reading her Bible. And she had stopped coming to church where we just couldn't even force her to come to church because of bullying years ago. You know, some things that's, you know, kids, we all know are cruel. It doesn't matter if it's church or school, it happens. But she actually last week started coming back to church excited. She came home excited about what took place in church. And I give Kyle the praise for that because, you know, I was real worried about her going to the youth group thing, and she was real excited. We see a better discipline in her. You know, kids with autism, it's a little difficult sometimes to figure out what works. And this has got her more in a it's developed a thinking pattern in her where, you know, she knows she's got to do this to this to this. And, you know, these tournaments are praise for what she's, you know, where she stands. I mean, you know, like he said, there's a green belt teaching him. There's a lot of black belts out there. And there was a little kid this high that had a black belt. Now, I don't know how that happens, but he's got a black belt. But, you know, it's teaching them, you know, it's not a form of violence. It's a form of discipline. And, you know, she's become more structured in her work, in her daily processes. And, you know, we just see a whole different Shelley than we saw 6 months ago. And we are so thankful. And, I mean, it's not just something for, you know, all kids could benefit in this. There's so many kids out here that's not getting the discipline they need. But whenever they learn that self-discipline, that's where we're going to make it in our future. When these all these kids that, you know, we have to call the police at McDonald's at least once a week when the junior high kids come in. And whenever they learn that self-discipline, you know, it gets contagious. And that's what I hope to see more kids join up and really make a difference in this town, because I think, you know, this has been the best thing I've seen that works. And, you know, I've seen kids that's super intelligent and super strugglers go to some of these type things. And whenever I went to the tournament, there was no negativity anywhere in that building. You know, it was all Christian-based. I don't know if they were all Christians, but the praise and the excitement that you saw out of the parents, out of the kids, and it was just, you know, like the sparring looks like they're out there beating each other up, but it's not. And I'm just so thankful that our church decided to support this, because it is a plus. And if your kid's old enough, I recommend you putting them in, because it helps them look for goals and a future. All I got to say.
Thank you. I had another one here. They were kind of a little shy to come up here. So she sent me a text message here. So I'm going to read this for you. The First Baptist Taekwondo program has been such a blessing for my family. It has given both my son and grandson both spiritual and physical conditionings. The lessons that they are learning will stay with them forever. The teacher is a wonderful mentor, friend, and teacher to all the students, and we can't thank him enough. I also want to thank those who volunteer their time to share devotions after class, as well as overseeing the spiritual testing for belts. Thank you to the church for supporting this program. So they had the test, and we have a spiritual test. So they go before the black belts and do all their physical stuff, which is quite stressful. Then they came back to our group, and they had the test, and we made it just as stressful. They had to come up and rattle off all 11 training principles, and they were asked to recite the Ten Commandments. But not only did they have to recite the Ten Commandments, they had to recite them in the way that the council told them to say them. So they would say, what is the 10th commandment? What is the 6th commandment? What is the 5th commandment? What is the 3rd commandment? And they had to know them in that order as they were said. And they all passed quite well. Not only that, but Bill Exeter asked them on every principle, what did that mean to them? So when they were saying, you know, what did it mean to be polite? What did it mean to be patient? What does it mean to be kind? What does it mean to be gentle? And how they applied that to their lives. Mr. Beaver, Nathan Beaver, was supposed to be here today and give a testimony, what it was like to be on the council. He's not here. So when you guys see him, bug him. Ask him what it was like to be on the council doing that, because he said it was quite humbling to him. So now, if you guys have any questions, we have a particular deacon we want you to take this up with. If you will put that picture up for me, Kyle. It's a little blurry, sorry, but you can take it up with him, all right? Anyways, people, that is your Taekwondo program. I hope you are all happy with it. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're going to begin the worship service with some songs, and we remain seated until the last of the second song, and then we'll get up ready as the ushers come forward. All right, it'll be on the wall. It's page 580-95. Send the light. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. There's a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. On the fourth one, four. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for the crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. And our brother will give us a report on the light that you are sending as representatives of this church. The Gideons take the Bibles all over the world, as you know. And I know, page 581. And stand with me on the last verse as the ushers come forward. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. On the second one, wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. On the last, and you stand with me, and the ushers, please come. With the winds, a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest sin and deepest case. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Just a word, this offering is for the church. Your tithes, your offerings for the church. We'll have another offering at the end of the service for the Gideons. There'll be one at each door. Thank you so much.
I was going to let you all know that for those of you who've been praying for Nora Kay, on Friday, Lauren took her in for a blood work. And when this process was started, we got down to a low of 7,000 platelets. And what you may not realize that 500,000 is normal. And on Friday, we were up to 303,000. Oh, so we have made a tremendous improvement. And I told Doris that you could, I guess, take her off your prayer list, but not really. We're still a work in progress, but hopefully we have made the turnaround and are definitely going in the right direction, and her body apparently knows how to work well on its own now. Amen. And then if you're involved in VBS, you are about to reach your Waterloo deadline. If you need anything from Lifeway or Oriental Trading, I need to place that order. So thanks.
Sure. Amen. Know Earl Burke. He's a local man, grew up just south of the big city of Marionville. He may choose or he may not choose to tell us any about that, but we want to you to know that he's with the Gideon organization as well as some others around here. But you are a part of the mission field all over the world just because of your contributions to the organization. Earl Burke.
Thank you. Thank you, Fritz. I can't tell you how good it is to be here today. Grew up around here, was at the farm yesterday. Glad to see Mom visiting with us today, Betty. And a lot of wonderful memories. A lot of wonderful memories. And I would encourage each one of you, you've got my name in the bulletin. It's been 50 years for some. Feel free to tell me your name. But I'd love to talk with you. Sure would. And it's really great to be here. And it's an honor to be here today. Especially this week, we got notice from the international organization, that this week we celebrated the distribution of the 2 billionth scripture somewhere in the world, somewhere. So praise the Lord. And it's because of churches just like you that that's happened, because it took 93 years from the beginning in 1908 for the first billion to be distributed. It took 14 for the second. So that's a testimony to your faithfulness. And we sure thank you for that. And look forward to many more years of spreading the gospel. There's still many millions and billions that have not had their own copy. There are many over this world who've not heard the word about Jesus and about what he's done for us. So there's still a big, big challenge. And thank you for engaging in the challenge with us. Guillermo Zapata received a testament when he was in college. And he read the testament and he became a Christian. After he graduated, he took a job in a small community in Peru that was known for witches, for being a stronghold of witches and warlocks. He said here he was, a mining engineer, and he hung out a shingle. This mining engineer gives free lessons on the Bible. He said nobody came. Nobody in that whole community was interested. He said we had a rainy period. One day it was raining so hard that water was seeping in his hut. And he opened the front door and he was bailing water out to try to keep from getting too deep in his hut. He said while he was doing that, in run a mangy-looking dog and grabbed the testament he had received while he was in college. Got it in his mouth, took off out the door, and Gil hit it after him, but he couldn't catch up with him before the dog darted into a hut of a known witch doctor. So he said rather than going in that cursed hut, he just went right back home. He said 2 weeks later, he had a knock on the door, and it was the witch doctor. And the witch doctor said, held up this little testament. He said, a couple of weeks ago when it was raining, said this ugly dog darted into my hut and had this in his mouth and dropped it. And he said, I'm reading in Psalms, and he said that I see there's something I need to learn about. And he said, can you teach me? And right there, Gil shared with him the gospel, and Leoncio received the Holy Spirit and Jesus as his Savior. Leoncio didn't stop right there, though. He went right on. He went right on and shared the gospel with all of his family. And each one was saved. And as a matter of fact, his niece became Gil's wife. And now they minister full time in a small community in Peru. That's what that word of God does. No matter how it's delivered. The word in 55:11 of Isaiah says that it shall not return void, no matter where it goes. It is going to produce a harvest. Shannon Bettis. Shannon grew up in a small community north of Dallas-Fort Worth area, and said that she was taught how to be self-reliant and very independent from day one. Said she grew up in a good family, even though it was broken, but she said, as a matter of fact, said that didn't have any Christian teaching in my home. She went on, she grew up, she got married, and she and her husband moved to Europe. They had a little girl, and said that she had gotten into, once she got her degree out of college in finance, she attacked that corporate ladder, said, with a real fervor. Said, as a matter of fact, she would go in early, she would come home late. She said she would do anything almost that she could to try to advance herself in the corporate eye. Said that, as a matter of fact, she neglected her family. Her little daughter, 3-year-old daughter, called her Aunt Shannon because she was there so infrequently. Said that didn't bother her because her world was about herself and about what she was wanting in her life. Said after going on for 11 years of this, and the little girl was 11, one day she took her ring off, packed her bag, and left, and abandoned the family. After she was out on her own, said one morning she was out for a run. She was never an emotional girl. She was taught not to be emotional, but said sadness had overcome her about what she had done, what she had left. Said she would find herself while she was out running in the mornings to cry, and that's when the emotions would come. Said one morning she was out in a heavy rainstorm. Said the rain was being blown at her face, just felt like needles. Said she turned down a street that she wasn't usually running on, one she was unfamiliar with. Said she was running down that street crying and asking, God, what can you do for me? I have messed up my life so bad. Please help me in some way. Said that thundered and lightning was real bright, and she saw an object in the middle of the street. Said she went up, she thought it was a wallet, but when she got closer, she saw it was one of these. A little testament we give out in schools. Said she picked it up. She didn't have a Bible. She stuffed it in her shorts and she went on and completed her run. After she got home, she began to read. And as she began to read, the Lord changed her heart. Changed her heart to the point that she received Christ and her whole life changed. Her focus changed from business to the Word of God and from herself into following Jesus. After living 5 years following Jesus, her ex-husband realized that the life in her was real. And he not only noticed that, but he received Christ as his Savior. They remarried, and their family was restored. And now Shannon can say that that word is alive and real in her life and in lives of her family because of what's happened. Well, you probably know who we Gideons are. We're Christian businessmen, and professional men, and farmers, and all walks of life that the Lord's led into this particular ministry. And we're an association that believes one thing, and that is that this Word of God can reach people and can save their lives. We're dedicated to reaching the lost. And we're now, with God's help, He's opened 200 countries. That's now got Gideon camps in those countries, and we're able to minister in those lands. 94 languages that the scriptures are published in. And we're over 84 million scriptures a year in distribution and growing, and hoping to be in 5 years to 120 million. And we'll see just how far the Lord wants to go farther. He wants to have more and more distributed. We go to jails and prisons. We go to schools. We go to colleges, universities, hotels, motels. We go give scriptures to emergency responders, to nurses. Now we put them in lawyers' offices as well, because we want those scriptures to be anywhere where people are facing challenges in their lives. And the Lord is giving us wonderful testimonies because of what that word is doing through those scriptures. And as I mentioned, the word does not return void. Some Gideons were in Porto Alegre, Brazil, distributing outside a university. Said they had a really good day. Over a period of 12 hours, they distributed 12,000 scriptures. Said about noon, the Gideons, he said, he smelled this unusual odor. Couldn't quite put his finger on it, but it was kind of pervasive at a point, and then they went about sharing the scriptures. Said they were sharing, and this one well-dressed young man came up and took the scripture, and he said in an unkind tone, he said, you know what you can do with this? And he said many other expletives. He said, you can just throw these things, and he threw it as hard as he could, and it went up on the roof of a two-story building. Well, he walked away. And after a while, as they were distributing more and more, said he started smelling the smell again. And he turned around and saw this short man who was covered with tar. Tar on his face, arms, on his clothing. He was there crying. And he was holding that testament they had given the fellow who had thrown it. And he revealed that he was up on top of that roof, and he was roofing that day. And said he was recounting, as a matter of fact, his life as being a failure. And he was considering how he might commit suicide. And he said, "This hits me on the back of the head." And he said, "I found that I can be, through Jesus Christ, can be saved. Can you tell me how?" And they shared with him how to receive Christ. And he received Jesus right there. Cause of special delivery. Back to the back of his head. Earl Holt is a Gideon in Covington, Kentucky. And it was Earl's Sunday to go and share with the local jail about distributing scriptures and about the good news. He was going to share with whomever would listen when he went to the jail block that day. And he said he didn't feel very good. Said he was not, in the best of moods and things like that. And he could think of 1,000 reasons not to go. But he said, if this was a Monday or a work day, said he would have gone on anyway, so he just went. Said it was one of the best decisions he ever made. Said as he got to the cell block, it was a large cell block, he turned the corner and said, there he was. And he was talking about one of the inmates. Arms were crossed, no sleeves in his shirt, and he was apparently wanting him to see all of the satanic markings, the tattoos on his body. And Earl said that he had a different idea. Rather than focusing on those, he said he came to talk about Jesus. And the fellow says, "I'm not into religion. I don't want to hear anything about religion." Earl says, "I'm not here about religion either." He said, "I'm going to tell you about the love and the grace and peace that the Lord can give you." And he started sharing with him about God. Well, that kind of surprised the guy, and he just listened. And then Earl went ahead and gave him a testament. Well, the fellow, he took the testament, and he just looked at it, kind of dumbfounded. Earl asked if there's anybody else wants a testament. The fellow over here says, "Yeah, I want one." And the guy over here in the cell block, he handed one under the bars to him. He said, and then he went back to the fellow, the second one that had been standing there, and he noticed that the first fellow, the fellow who was the Satanist, had kneeled. And he was there, and he thought, well, he must be resting, but he was reading the testament. As Earl asked the fellow that was still standing to his right, says, "What's your plans for your life? What are you going to do after you get out of here?" Well, he didn't have an answer. And in the meantime, the fellow that was on his knees looked up to him and said, "If you're smart, you'll get down here like me on your knees and listen about Jesus Christ." And said, another fellow across the way, he put the covers off his bunk, and he was there kneeling by these other two guys. And he said, Earl said, "There I went," and he knelt down with them and shared the good news about Jesus. And they all three received Christ right there on their knees in that cell block. Well, Earl went to the back of the Bible. Each of these testaments has a plan of salvation. It has a place here you can sign your name. That you received Christ as your Savior this day, on this date, who you are. And he said, "I'd like for you to sign this right here, that today you have received Christ as your Savior." The Satanist looked at him and said, "But what about the other covenant I signed?" And he said he surprised the Satanist by knowing what he was talking about. He said, "Oh, you mean the one you signed in blood with Satan?" He said, "Yes." He said, "What about that one that I already signed?" He said, "Do not worry. This covenant was also in blood. And it nullifies any other spiritual covenants that you've ever taken." Earl said it was a sobering time, because when they got done, he was about to leave. The former Satanist shared with him. He said, "All the times that Christians have come in here," said, "they saw my tattoos and they saw the way I was," said, "they wouldn't even talk to me. they were shy around him. And he said that I appreciate you doing that. Earl said as he recounted the day, he was sure glad he went that day. He wasn't too sick to go whatsoever. You know, on that note, too, you know, people, we all wear our own uniform. Our uniform of the day. I call it that because when I was in the Navy, we had uniform of the day. You know, we do what we do and wear what we wear. We look like we try to be in agreement with the way we feel and things like that. So that's just an encouragement to us not to be shy around anyone when they may be someone that you don't feel comfortable with because they've got a heart just like ours. And their heart needs Jesus as well. The Lord has opened the doors in lands like China. We are fortunate to have some venue in China. You know, when the Olympics was in China a few years ago, the Chinese opened the doors to placing scriptures in the hotels and motels. And why would they do that in a communist country? Because they wanted the tourists to have an experience like they would have had anywhere else in the world. And that is a Bible in the hotel room. Now that is not done anymore. But however, the government has allowed the Gideons to come into churches and to be able to share about the Gideon work and then distribute scriptures in churches that are some of the churches that are approved by the government. And then secondly, the Lord's also opened the doors through Christian businesses in China. So you are having an effect in China, and it is opening to some degree. And we thank the Lord for what door we have there. And we thank the Lord also that He reaches people wherever it is, all over the world. Harold Stevens, he was a bush pilot and a missionary in South Africa for 27 years. Said one day he was flying out over the mission land and he saw an oil derrick. And here it was an oil derrick 300 miles away from the closest store. Said so he got a little closer and he saw the landing strip, he saw tents, and he saw guys in big hats. And he said, these guys are Texans. So he landed his airplane and went in and got acquainted, and they were from Tyler, Texas. And so he said he always liked to show a video to folks who spoke English when he could, and it was about the ministry. Well, the lead fellow on the crew, he said, well, Mr. Dogen would be here next week. Mr. Dogen owns the organization, said he'd be here next week. Why don't you come back and get acquainted with him? So Harold says, okay. So next week he went back, he met Mike Dogen, and shared a little bit about what Harold's ministry was about, and Mike said, it was surprising to see a North Carolinian here all this way away from North Carolina. And Harold said, well, I'm here, and I see that the Lord, I've seen him here working with me too. It's been a real blessing. So they agreed that Mike would come over and visit the mission, and he did the next day. He had one of his men come and drop him off in the pickup. He spent a day with Harold and his wife. Harold said he took him out and he showed him some of the mission lands and where all they ministered to and all the miles and also the mission there right in the locale where they live. Said as they were having lunch, Josephine, Harold's wife, asked Mr. Dogen, he said, well, do you have a family? And said he just dropped his head. And then they noticed he was crying. And when he regained his composure, he looked up and he said, well, I've been out of the country for 6 months drilling for oil. 3 weeks ago I got home, and my wife said she was tired of living alone, and she's divorcing me. My kids are grown, so no, I don't feel like I've got a family right now. So Harold and his wife went on and shared with him, the day as much as they could, make it enjoyable. Harold flew him back to the rig, and as Mike was getting out, he said, I serve a God who cares about all kinds of domestic situations, Mike, and I'd like to share with you about Him. And he did, and Mike was open, shared the four gospel laws with him, gave him a little booklet, and he said, I'd like to pray with you. Mike held his hand, both of his. And Harold prayed for him. And he said when he was done, he said, tell you what, Mike, when you're at a hotel room, said, you look in that stand beside the bed, said, and you find a Bible. It'll be a Gideon Bible. You turn to the book of John. Said, you read John at one sitting. You read it all, because that's God's love letter to man. Said, and God will tell you things that I can't share with you right here. But He'll tell you things by reading that you need to know. So Mike agreed to. 2 weeks later, Harold got a letter. And in the letter, Mike said, I'm in Cape Town, South Africa. Says, I'm getting ready to leave tomorrow. Said, I did just what you said. I read the four spiritual laws again. I read the book of John, and I got on my knees, and I received Christ as my Savior. And he said, Harold, I'd like for you to come and visit the ranch whenever you and Josephine are back in the States. So it was later on, Harold and Josephine were back home. And they got hold of Mike, and they spent a wonderful, glorious week down in Tyler, Texas. And Mike showed them all around, and they just enjoyed things. As he was out with Mike one day, he asked Mike, he said, are you sure, you know, if you died, that you'd be going to heaven? And Mike says, you know, that's the one thing I'm sure of more than anything else in my life, is that I'll be there someday. Harold and Josephine went on back home, and as they were leaving the airport a couple of months later, the tower called. And the tower had an emergency call. You need to come back here and take. So Harold did, and he had a message. It was a phone call from Mike Dogen's son. He said, Dad died suddenly this morning with a heart attack. He said, I know from what he said, you guys had a wonderful week together here. And he said, I'd like for you to come and preach his funeral. Harold said he went on down and preached the funeral. He told about Mike. Of course, Mike was a multimillionaire. He was an executive in a large oil company. Said, and there were 18 men there from his office that were in the service. And he just shared, he said, he shared just about Mike's life and about the change in Mike. Said, after the committal service at the cemetery, one of the 18 men came up and asked. He said, could you meet with us? We'd like to talk with you. He said, yeah. Said they met that night at 8 o'clock and said they adjourned at 12:40 a.m. Said by the time they adjourned, said, there were a number of those guys. 14 of them received Jesus. Said that, I don't know who of you Gideons placed that Bible in that hotel. Said, but it was sure worth it. It was sure worth it, because through one scripture, many were saved. That's what the Lord's doing throughout the world. And he's doing it in many ways, and whatever the individual walk of life is that he sees, that he knows how to match it, just like he does in yours and my life, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows what we need. And there's ways that you can be engaged in this as well. We always ask for prayer. And I certainly thank you all for your prayers through the years, Larry, for yours this morning, especially. We need prayer that the doors will be open, not only in 199 other countries, but would remain open right here in America. And we also have the scriptures, the cards out here. I see you have a rack, and there's three ways that you can participate in the ministry, and that is through these three cards. And by using those cards, you can give Bibles and memory in honor or for any occasion for someone in your life. And every penny of what you give for those Bibles goes for the purchase and placement of Scripture somewhere in the world. The third way is also by your gifts and the offerings today. 100% of that is fully deductible, and every penny goes toward the purchase and placement of Scriptures, because we Gideons pay our own dues, pay our own administrative fees and things like that. And then fourth is by considering becoming a member. And we have more and more doors opening, and we need more and more workers. So I'd be glad to share with you about that. Now, maybe you want to be supportive in ways that would border on membership, but don't feel that's maybe your call. The organization now, the Gideons now, has a program called Being a Friend of the Gideon. And you can sign up online and become a friend of the Gideons, and you will receive a dozen of these personal workers' testaments to share with others. If you'd like to, like we get to, we purchase these and use those in our daily lives to encourage others and maybe share the gospel. And you'll get 12 of those and have the opportunity to also participate in that way, and then have other benefits as far as local meetings and things like that. So that's a program that's new. Glad to offer. But again, I thank First Baptist here because of what you've done through the years and your faithfulness that has got us to 2 billion scriptures being distributed, and the rate now, every little less than 4 days, another million goes out. And thank you for your hospitality and for homecoming, too. It's my pleasure and joy to be here. Thank you, Fritz.
Judy? Let's all stand and sing a closing hymn, page 95. It's another one that goes right along with what we're doing. Every time your heart beats, somewhere in the world, two scriptures have gone out. All right. Is that the right one? Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And there will be a basket at each door. Please give an offering. Thank you. You are dismissed. Thank you for being here today.